This program is called Heart to Heart with God. God wants to speak to us. He always speaks to us. Don't forget, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. So it is important for us to grow spiritually, because spiritual growth is a function of obedience to God. How can I obey if I can't hear the order? How can I grow if I don't hear the instruction from the Spirit of God, from Jesus himself? So we are here, as that's the mandate God gives to us, to help people to get the Word of God in their heart. Because that's the right soil. That's where the Word works effectively. The Bible doesn't work in itself. We make it work. And when we make it work, God will make it good. That means this is just a seed. The seed must have root. When it has root, that's where the Holy Ghost will come. When we express our faith and see the result, that's how we can have a genuine relationship with God in spirit and in truth. We are talking to God in prayer, right? We know how to speak. We know how to bring our petition to God. But the problem we have is how to sit back in silence and listen to what God has to say. Because prayer, as our mentor, Prophet Yehoshua, taught us and taught all the viewers of the world, is a two-way conversation. I speak to God, and God speaks to me. That's how relationship is established. If I speak to you, and you are unable to hear me, how can we communicate?
It's interesting you said that, because I don't know if you've experienced this, but I don't know, we have that experience quite a lot, where maybe sometimes he'll be speaking to me and I can actually hear what he's saying, but I'm not there. And he automatically knows when I'm not there and says, where have you traveled to? And I always ask myself, how does he know that I'm not actually, my mind and heart is not actually listening to what he's saying? I don't know if you have this experience. I mean, it's not that I'm purposely not wanting to pay attention, but I think so many of us, we can be very distracted and thinking about other things, and we can be here physically and we can actually hear something audibly with our ears, but if someone asks us to repeat what we just heard, we can't, because it didn't register in our heart, because our heart is not actually present hearing that. And that's why when you were talking about it just reminded me of that experience that we have. It's actually quite funny, because sometimes, you know, you'll ask me, where did you go? and I'll say, how did you know that I wasn't there?
It happens to everybody. Sometimes, you know, everybody has a gift. We speak about the situation and we continue to think. That's the role of our mind. Our mind plays a very vital role in getting access to God's voice. Mm. When our mind is so disturbed, we are thinking about something so deeply. Okay, you are in the church sitting on the front row. While the preacher is preaching the word of life, you are thinking of the trouble you left in your office. And you are thinking about the court case waiting for you on Monday. How is it going to happen? You are thinking. Your body is here, but your heart, your spirit is not there.
And that's the part that God actually needs to communicate to, if your heart, your spirit, because I often wonder what it means when we say our heart must be at its best for God, our mind must be at its best for God. And I think that's what we actually wanted to talk a bit about today, because all of us experience the situation where we can be physically hearing something, but maybe our heart is not 100% there, or our mind is not there. So can we break it down? What's the difference between heart and mind?
Sometimes the teacher will say, yeah, at school, hey, you are absent-minded. Mm. You hear that expression. Where were you? Where is your mind? So you hear the whole preaching of the pastor, or you're in a conference, or you're at school, but your mind is not there. You just hear the sound of the words. Mm. But if they touch you, you startle. Where were you? What did I say? You are unable to repeat what has been said. Mm. But your ear, your natural ear, was perceiving the sound spoken. But you are unable to know what's happening. And you were there. You can see the connection between your mind and your spirit. You can be here I can be here in the UK and my spirit is in America. You can be in Nigeria and your spirit go to Australia. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
Heart will be also.
Our spirit.
So where's your heart right now? I hope your heart is connected as you're watching to this. This is an opportunity for us to have a heart-to-heart with God, and we really want you not to miss out on this. That is why we want your heart to be connected.
Why heart-to-heart with God? Let's say in Matthew, we read last week, chapter 15, verse 8. These people come to me with their lips,
but their hearts are far from me.
Our heart, our spirit, is the communication point, contact point for the Holy Spirit. It's the communication point, contact point for God. The landing point, the prayer room, everything is all about the heart. So when I come in the presence of God, the first thing God focuses is what? My heart, not my mouth. So the question is, why is it when we are, that's why last time we talked about focus, remember? It all starts by focus. So I say, focus. Pay attention. Listen. I repeat. Focus. Pay attention. Let my mind be there. Pay attention. And listen. That we call look attentively. Listen attentively.
That means that God doesn't bypass the mind then.
Absolutely not.
Your mind has to be actually focused and engaged.
What you are saying now, say it again.
That God doesn't bypass the mind.
Never. That's why meditation is not an intellectual process, but it does not bypass the mind. Your mind is a gateway. That's why the Bible says, watch and pray. If you don't arrest your thought on your mind, you can never distinguish the word. Remember Jesus said, the parable of the sower. The word is planted in the heart. How do you call it? Tares. Is it tares in English?
Yeah.
We grow and choke it. Negative thoughts come and choke it. And the word is not fruitful. That's why the first element in discerning the voice of God, in hearing God, number one, focus. That we discussed now. Focus. Focus means what? Only one thing is important. What God said. When you focus and you pay attention, then God speaks. If you don't focus, if you don't pay attention, you will not hear God. Even if he speaks, you don't listen. Can we start first by reading Job chapter 33 from verse 14 before we go into the detail?
This scripture is about God speaking in one way or another, yes?
How to have with God. Last week was focused. Today, pay attention to discern the voice of God. Job chapter 33, from verse 14.
For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it.
Let's take it one by one. Say it again.
For God may speak in one way or in another.
God may speak to me, speak to you in one way or another. We don't dictate God how to speak to us. He can speak to you in one way or another. What happened?
Yet man does not perceive it.
Man does not perceive it. Can I ask a question? What's the meaning of perceive? Viewers, you're invited. You can send your comment. What's the meaning of perceive? God speaks in one way or another, and man does not perceive.
Perceive. Well, perceive means to, for your senses to acknowledge something, to feel it, to hear it, to see it.
Okay.
If something registers with you, then you perceive it.
And this is the proof text of our discussion today. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23. We start from verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 23 from verse 18. Focus, attention, listen, and hear what God says. Today, we talk about attention. Jeremiah chapter 23 from verse 18. Let's listen. why we don't perceive. The reason why I say this is very important. Sometimes a man can speak to you. God can speak to you through a man. But when your mind is not set, your heart is not set, you say, it's a man talking to me. And you don't listen. Or else, a man will speak and say, it is God. We need to discern who is speaking.
Jeremiah what?
Chapter 23 from verse 18.
For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it?
Now, you're going to help us to carry this on. Because every single word here matters. Let's take it one by one.
For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord?
Thank you. Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Mean, who has been in the presence of God? You must be first in his presence before you hear his word. I'm speaking to you, you're next to me. You hear my voice. Some of the viewers are far, far, if not internet. If I shout, they will not hear my voice from here. They must be in the spirit realm. Now people are connected by internet, am I right? So they are in the spirit. They can hear my voice anywhere in the whole world because they are connected with me. They hear my voice. They hear my voice because they are connected. We are connected, right? Now, you must enter. There is a dimension of God. Because we say, walk in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Be in the spirit. That's the dimension of God. That's the realm where you can hear the frequency of the Holy Spirit. You must be in that spirit first. When you are in the counsel of God, when you enter the realm there, you will be able to perceive in the inner secret place the voice of the Lord. Who has entered the counsel of the Lord? Continue.
And has perceived and heard his word.
Now, we said you can be in the church, somebody's talking, but the mind is somewhere. You just hear the sound, but you don't know what has been said. To perceive is to be able to discern clearly the words spoken. Okay? Ruth Nagadev. I say Ruth Nagadev.
I'm fine.
You're cheating because I taught you that first. Okay? Wait, 1 second.
I have to quickly remember.
Look at me. If I say Nagadev, you understand because I speak a language you know, right? Now, I'm going to say something you don't know. Sabai, nakala tontu.
No, I don't know what that means.
Sabai, nakala tontu.
Sabai, nakala tontu.
Okay, now you're able to repeat what I said. What did I say? Say it again. Sabai, nakala tontu.
Sabai, nakala tontu.
This is my native language. I speak a language called Wolof. She hears the sound of my words, but she does not understand what I said. But she's able to hear the sound and to reproduce it. Why? Because you are paying attention to me. Even though you don't understand, but you pay attention, you were able to mark my words. You were able to repeat those words. Because you are only hearing the sound, but not the words. You are repeating a sound like a baby. If I say this, a baby can repeat it, but doesn't understand the meaning. But now, that's where the Bible says, you focus, you pay attention and you listen.
Does that mean that we can actually hear God, but maybe we don't understand what
he's saying? That's the question. God is speaking, but we don't perceive it. How many of us say, I pray, but God doesn't say my prayers? Who told you? God speaks in one way or another, but we don't perceive it. Why? Because this natural ear is a trouble we have. These natural eyes, these are the most powerful senses we have. What we see, what we hear, it takes our mind immediately. It takes our thoughts immediately. So when I look at my situation, or I think about my situation, it will take over, it will overwhelm me. My mind is taken over by what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking about my trouble. And your mind is a gateway. So without an active cooperation of your mind, your spirit, your heart has no means to speak to God or to hear from God.
Okay.
I repeat.
Yeah, let's say that again. So you can write that down if you're here with your notes.
Without an active, take note of active, cooperation of your mind, your heart or your spirit has no means to express itself or to hear from God.
So
active,
let's
not passive.
Break that down. What does it mean?
Right. We have active and passive. Okay. When my thoughts are going, anything I come, I begin to think about, I think about Paris, think about Lagos, think about after Africa. I think about what I see. My mind is roaming. Many thoughts are coming. Different kinds of thoughts. From this thought to another. All of a sudden, you watch TV. Ah, you saw nice food. Oh, I want to eat this food. Ah, do you order it online? Oh, I look. I like this shirt. I see it. I taste it. I want to taste it. I want to buy it. My mind. We exercise our will through our mind. There are many decisions we take through our mind. That makes a difference between we and animals. We think, we like, and we do. Right? But without an active cooperation of your mind, your spirit and your mind are connected, and that is where the trouble is. If your mind is not submitted to your spirit, your mind, your thought will become your master.
So that's what happens when we're not able to manage our mind, because the thoughts that we have actually control us and dictate what we should do, rather than the opposite way, where our spirit is the one disciplining and guiding and controlling our thoughts.
Now, your spirit is the only part of you, your real you. I remind you the message of Prophet Tibi Yeshua. Who is the real you? It's not your mind. The real you is not your brain. It's not your body. The real you is your spirit. That's what we call heart. That's your real you. That's the real person of the heart. We call the innermost being, the inner self. That's your real you. Your heart, your spirit is the only part of you that can hear clearly, discern clearly the voice of God in your heart. It is vital to understand this, because the prophet, we have been talking about meditation, meditation, meditation. People don't distinguish the difference between meditation and thinking. When you are thinking, it is this one. It's passive. Any thought you log, like your phone can log on to any Wi-Fi it is available. This one, and you are roaming. Your heart is roaming, 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 roaming. But this is active cooperation. Meditation is not passive. It is active. Meaning you have a role to play.
Meaning your heart, your mind has to be in line with your spirit.
Absolutely.
That's what it means by
active. You have
active,
to engage your heart. You have to play a role. To focus, to pay attention. That is my role. That's why if you go to Israel, you see the Jews reading the Bible. They don't read it mentally. They read it loudly. What's the purpose of this? I focus on my reading, right? I said, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is the burden. I said it. I'm reading it. I capture my sight. I'm hearing it with my ears. I capture my thoughts. I capture my eyes. I'm focused.
That's why it's good to read the Bible aloud.
Aloud. In the beginning. Once you read and you focus, you pay attention, you listen, then you'll be able to remember. You'll be able to mark the word, to discern the word spoken, because you pay attention and you listen. Your mind is there. Focus, mind, listen. Once you know what happened to Samuel. You remember, God came and spoke to Samuel. Samuel, he heard a voice. He heard. Say, Samuel, Samuel. He stood up and ran to Eli. He said, I did not call you. Go and sleep. Second time, the same voice. He couldn't understand. He went to Eli. On the third time, Eli himself, who's supposed to understand that this is God speaking to this boy, it took three repetitions of God for him to come to the understanding. Hey, this boy came three times. It's not by hazard. Next time, little boy, don't come to me. This is God speaking to you.
Because he heard the voice, but he didn't understand who was speaking.
Thank you. Put your focus, say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening.
But many times today, what we say to God is, Lord, listen, your servant is speaking.
That's what happened. No, thank you for saying it, because we know how to send our petition to God. We dictate to God what to do. No, right. What you're saying is true. We come to God and begin to speak, Lord, give me this, give me this, give me this. We are ordering God. We are telling him what to do. We are giving God instruction. Where God knows what is best for you and for me.
That it's true. So many times we approach God and we are the ones speaking to God, and yet we say we want to hear from God, but actually we want God to listen to us. And when God speaks, we don't perceive or understand what he's saying, because our heart is not set for that.
Thank you. That's what we do, not only to God, but towards our neighbor. Anytime we have disagreement in the family, husband and wife have a disagreement, everybody wants to be heard, but nobody wants to listen. And let me tell you, if you learn to be quiet and to listen, Holy Spirit will speak through you and give you inspiration. But if you speak by yourself, how do you want him to inspire you? That's why the first thing we have to do, first, in every situation that happened to us, we should not be too quick to speak. No matter how painful, no matter how frightening you have heard the situation, first, your first is to focus to God, sit back in silence, listen first to what the Lord has to do before you begin to express anything. If you must speak, think first. If you must take an action, think first with the help of God. Do you see the attitude of Jesus? When people came to him, talk, the Lord listened. First, look, pay attention to the person speaking to you. Listen. When you listen, the person say this, you listen. And all of a sudden, in your heart, Holy Spirit will give you wisdom what to answer. Jesus never rushed to answer. When they say, Master, this woman, we need to kill her. She did this. Jesus kept quiet.
Yeah, he didn't speak because other people were pressuring him to speak. He spoke because God wanted him to speak at that time.
Yes, and you remember what the prophet Yeshua was saying? If you call me on the phone, hello, in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. I want to know who's talking to me. He's praying. Ah, how are you? I'm fine. He's praying. Forgot to give him utterance. No, who is speaking to you? So we come back to what we're saying. Your mind is the watchman. Your mind is a gatekeeper. Since first it comes to your mind, use the connection to your heart. You must know what God said. We have natural eyes, natural ears, natural mind. Am I right? But we have spiritual eyes, eyes of faith. And we have spiritual ears. That's the conscience. And we have the mind of Christ. I repeat. I have my natural human eyes. I have my natural ears when I hear the sound of people speaking to me. I have my mind. My understanding will help me to understand what is spoken to me. I spoke to her in my native language, but her understanding was unfruitful because she couldn't understand what I'm saying unless I interpret for her. This takes us to the issue of speaking tongues we are talking about. You hear somebody speaking tongues. We speak. Do you know what the person is saying?
Can your spirit be edified by something you don't understand?
Understand what even the person speaking, does she understand what she's saying? That's why if you're speaking to God, heart to heart, you and God, you can speak heart to heart with God without uttering any sound. God hears even the thoughts of your heart. God knows. You are talking to God heart to heart. We are talking about heart to heart. When Moses was in the tabernacle, Moses was not in the courtyard. Moses was not in the holy. He was in the holy of holies.
His heart was deeply engaged with God.
He was heart to heart with God. His heart was deeply engaged. We call it a hugged heart with God. That's what we are talking today. When you are in that position, you may be overwhelmed by your situation. You don't even know how to pray. You are tired. You just want to lie down and sleep. You are worried. At that moment, you see the work of the Holy Spirit. You keep quiet. Your heart is groaning. That's when the Holy Ghost will come and help you. When Hannah was in Shiloh, in deep pain because of barrenness, because of situation, Hannah was in tears. And she entered the tabernacle and she was praying in her heart without uttering any voice. To the extent, the same Eli, saying, "You, are you drunk? Why can't you go into your vine elsewhere and not to bring to the presence of God being drunk?" She said, "Man of God, I have not drunken wine. I'm pouring my heart to God." Mm. That's what Hannah said. And when she said that, Eli changed frequency and said to her, "God grant you your heart's desire."
Because he understood
absolutely
what was happening. Before, he just came to a judgment of something that he didn't understand. But when he understood that actually she was pouring her heart out to God, that's when he was able to become a blessing, because he listened to God through his heart and spoke that blessing upon her life.
Thank you. Because Hannah engaged her heart. When Eli spoke, she discerned that this is God speaking to me, not this man. Mm. She believed immediately. She stopped crying. And she began to eat. She began to laugh. After that, she became pregnant and Samuel was born.
So that means that when we receive a word and we know that word is from God, we have to believe and act on it.
Thank you. How do you act on something you don't believe? How do you believe on something you do not understand? And that is the key. If I don't understand, I send a word to you in my native language, you don't understand, you cannot act on it. And this is where the Holy Ghost will come. Because when it comes to spiritual things, the first work of the Holy Spirit is to begin in the understanding. Mm. When the word comes, you don't understand. You engage your heart. Take more of me. In your heart, your mouth closed. The prophet just told you, don't open your mouth when you face Bethel. If you open your mouth, your thoughts are talking. But if you close your mouth, your heart is talking to God. Mm. You're not speaking to man. You're speaking to God. If you meditate, you engage your heart. All of a sudden, before you realize it, the inner voice of the Holy Ghost inside of you, something will ring in your heart. A word will come. Now, if your heart is engaged, you will be able to hear and to perceive who is speaking to you. That's why Jeremiah said, "Who has entered the counsel of God?" Mm. Who has what? Say it again.
"For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord?"
Yes.
"And has perceived and heard his word?"
Who has perceived his word?
"Who has marked his word and
heard
it?" Who
has marked? Samuel, the first time, never marked the word. When you mark the word, you know who is talking to you. Either man or God. That's where conviction comes. When the master told him, when you hear the word, say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." That we're able to mark the word as coming from God.
So to mark the word means you believe it.
Means you believe it. You understand who is talking to you. And then you say,
you
Lord,
act on it.
You act on it. Your focus is now on God, because God is the one speaking to you, not to man. It's an openness. This ear, you open your heart. Because God speaks to you deep, deep, deep inside here. Mm. You are the only person to hear that voice. So you need to mark the word. When you mark the word now, what happened? Holy Spirit will come and open the eyes of your heart to understand what is spoken. That is understanding. When understanding comes, now you can act on it because you understand. When Jesus preached the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those who listened to him, those who paid attention deeply in their heart, Holy Spirit will come and give them understanding of their heart. That's the difference between thinking and meditation. That's why the prophet say, when you read your Bible, when you read it louder, you read, after you sit back in silence and begin to turn it over in your heart. That is meditation. Now, it's active. Active cooperation of the mind. You discipline your mind. You arrest your mind. You focus your mind and you begin in your heart. Holy Spirit, take more of me. Meditate the word. Till one day, all of a sudden, a word will come from your heart. Then you will know that this is God. This one is our normal brain. This is the spirit. When you learn to distinguish which frequency you are, you'll be able to mark that it is for my conscience, your conscience. You have heard about conscience. Your conscience is the ear and the eye of your spirit. When something rings in your conscience, that's the voice of God. The moment you discern the two differences, you will never doubt anymore the voice of God. That can never happen in one day. That's why you need to discipline. Our mind needs to be disciplined, educated by the word of God through meditation. It starts with a thought. It's important. But as I continue to turn it over, to think about it intently, Holy Spirit will come. And understanding will come in your heart.
There's a few people asking questions here. Margaret says, how can I differentiate the voice of God and my enemy?
How can I differentiate the voice of God and my enemy? Which enemy you have? Margaret?
No, you mean no, the voice of the enemy, right?
Wait. Margaret, I say, okay, what's the name? Margaret Magalila.
Yeah.
Litongola. How can I differentiate the voice of God and my enemy? I'm asking you, who is your enemy? Margaret, send a message. If I answer you, you have to tell me who is your enemy. You have to tell me who is your enemy. Listen, sometimes you call enemy your friend if you don't distinguish the voice. Sometimes we call bad what is good, and we call good what is bad because we fail to identify who is speaking to you, who is talking to you. Sometimes we ascribe to the devil what is not from him. How do we the only enemy we have, Margaret, I'm answering you. Satan is our common enemy. Human beings are not and will never be our enemy. If a human being come upon you to behave like an enemy, that person is not himself. It's evil spirit that lead him to do that.
Hilda says, I think most of the time the enemy is our mind.
The enemy attack your mind. That's his job.
Yeah.
Satan attack your mind.
So I think the key question is. Sorry, one second, baby.
I'm sorry. You correct me. He attack your mind because of what he said. Your mind is a playground. He bombard your mind with negative thoughts. Those negative thoughts are what brings sin. Those negative thoughts is to take you away from God's way. Negative thoughts. The thoughts of the Holy Ghost are always positive. Okay, you were saying something?
No, I was just saying that I think that's the question that people are asking. You know, how can I know it's the voice of God or is it the enemy disguising and trying to deceive me? I think that's the question, right?
That's where we are going.
Yeah.
The only way to, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm telling the truth. If you don't know this word, you'll not be able to know whether it's God or from Satan. Anybody, Satan quoted this Bible. He quote the Bible better than you and me. What did he say to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 in the temptation? He said to him, jump! Because the Bible says in Psalm 91, he will send his angel to come and carry you and hold you. That's what Satan said. And that's exactly the letter of the word. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Satan can quote this scripture. The slave girl in Acts chapter 16, hey, these are the men of God. Listen to them. She was speaking on the letter, but her heart never means that. The question is, what is the motivation behind the words? That's where you know what is from God or not. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's what Jesus answered to him. Mean, if somebody quote the letter of the Bible, you can quote it, anybody can quote it. But if the Holy Spirit give you inspiration in your heart, the conviction of peace of heart, no, is from God in your heart. This voice comes with peace. His voice comes with understanding. You will recognize, okay, I know the voice of Ruth because we are communicating. If you communicate with the Holy Ghost, you will begin the prophecy which you say, the more you think about what you have read and turn it over, the more you become familiar with his voice and know the God who created you. It's all about relationship.
Exactly, because even if you look at the case of our daughter Pearl, you know, she instantly recognizes our voice, even if we're not there. If she hears the voice of myself or Racine, instantly she knows it's us. And when you talked about relationship, I think that's just is the key. If we are familiar with God's voice, meaning that we're reading our Bible, we're meditating on it, we're developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Every time we obey the word of God, something will enter our heart that will increase our assurance and we'll become more sensitive to the voice of God. But every time you give in to your temptation, to give in to the temptation of Satan, to do the wrong thing, to act out of the character of God, every time you do that, that means you're the voice of the enemy is becoming louder in your heart. Because if you obey the voice of God, it will become louder each time and each time. There's always going to be two voices. You're never going to not experience the voice of the enemy. Look at Jesus. Jesus had just been proclaimed as the Son of God, and immediately afterwards, he went through that temptation, meaning that no matter how close you are to Jesus, you're still going to be tempted. But the question is, what relationship are you building in your heart? Are you obeying the voice of God, or are you giving in to the wrong thing, the temptation in your heart? Because each time you do that, the voice of who you obey will become louder. So obey the voice of God and it will become louder and louder in your heart, and you'll be able to recognize it more.
Thank you. Before you recognize, you know, last time I used the image of my glasses. Your heart must be at its best for God to be able to hear and to discern what is spoken. How can my mind be at its best? We all know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, you are already clean
because of the words
I have spoken to you. And the blessed prophet Ibijah has got a book that everybody know. God's word refreshes our mind. God's spirit renews our strength. Take note. God's word refreshes my mind. God's spirit renews my strength. What does this mean? If I have a situation presented to me on the outside, terrible situation, I begin to be afraid. I begin to think negative. And when I think negative, my mind slips. So my heart is blocked. My mind is so overwhelmed by my situation that I can't reason well.
When you say your heart sleeps, you mean your heart is not act. Your mind is sleeps. It's not actively engaged
that,
with your spirit.
That means your focus has been turned from God to situation. That's what the Bible says. Watch and pray, so Satan will not catch you and prepare an away.
So watch means your mind should be alert.
Absolutely. Watchful is active cooperation of the mind. Active cooperation of the mind. I have to discipline myself. I have to be focused. I refuse to be disfocused. I focus on something. You know, when you have interest on something, you focus on it. I focus it. I engage my heart. I engage my mind. That's what the Bible, with all my heart, with all my mind. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. 6 verse 4. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. So this mind is important, because our understanding is in our mind. So when God wants to give you revelation, that revelation lands first in your spirit. Right? And you may not understand that dream revelation. Holy Spirit will open the eyes of your heart to see what is promised to you, and you hear it. Now, next step, Holy Spirit work will go into the understanding. If you hear a tongue, a language, Holy Spirit will interpret the language to you if your heart is engaged. If Ruth said, what's the word you said? All of a sudden, the Spirit will tell you, is asking you, what's the name of your father? And that's the interpretation. Holy Spirit is an interpretation. He interprets the message from heaven. Heavenly language and language of man are different. I can speak a language of man. The language I speak to her was not angel. It's language of my native language. If you are from Senegal, you understand what I said. But she cannot understand because she doesn't know that language. You understand? So now, the Spirit of God knows all the language of the world. He can spot in your heart, give you intuitively. This is what I should say. This is the meaning of it. The question, what I said, do you think it's reality or I'm just talking? It is reality. We're going to show you a demonstration of this. Sometimes we wrestle with God. We find ourselves fighting with God. We want to do this the way you want, but God wants you to listen to this. But we want to listen to this. Sometimes when people are fighting, the trouble is so much in the house. that it's so difficult to correct people. Everybody, what you hear is argument. They fight. But the moment you come, you sit down, you reflect on what you have said, Holy Spirit will convict you. This is wrong. This is the meaning. This is this. And you come to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's why the Bible says, Lord, set a watch upon my lips. Psalm 19. My tongue, control it, Holy Spirit. Help me and guide me. So when the Holy Spirit comes, you ask him, Lord, set a watch. That's the prayer I'm going to offer today. Set a watch upon my lips. Help me to evaluate each thought that comes to my heart. Is it from God or not? That's discerning your spirit. Holy Spirit will help you to know whether this is from God or it's from Satan. And how? The word of God. If you know this word, there are many questions you don't ask anybody. Because anything that is contrary to this word, you question it. Jesus is known by love. Holy Spirit speaks what is positive. That's why faith is positive thinking, positive talking, positive acting. Holy Spirit will never send you a word of judgment to your brother and sister. Holy Spirit never said this man is a bad person. Holy Spirit never do that. You never condemn anyone. He will minister to your heart. He will minister to your spirit and minister to the person, for the person for a change. If he speak a word, it's to change the person. It's correction, not judgment. Satan speaks word of judgment, condemnation, destruction, guilt. That's his work. But the work of Holy Spirit is to bring awareness, godly sorrow, repentance that leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow leads to destruction. When the Spirit of God comes, he brings correction. He will correct your focus. And you see life clearly. You say, oh, I'm sorry for what I said. Forgiveness come. Understanding come. And you grow in faith. Now, for you to understand your dream, for you to be able to perceive where the voice comes from, it takes the Holy Spirit to do that. That's where he starts. His works begin first in the understanding. Then it will take you to the will and then to your emotion and your act faith. Let me take one by one. To the understanding, he will tell you God's position. And then your eyes will open to understand what God said. The opening of the eyes of your faith and understanding will silence your fears. You will know God's position on the matter. You have been barren for so many years like Hannah. Eli said, it shall be done to you. She believed immediately. That gave her strength. Her mind was renewed because she knows that this is God speaking. She worry no more. She fear no more. She stopped fasting and began to eat and laugh. And the promise came to pass. So at this step we are talking about, we talked about focus last week. Today we talk about paying attention. It's absolutely important that your mind and your heart work in tune. The Holy Spirit always walk in cooperation with us. Always. If your mind is not ready to listen to him, if your heart's not listened, he will not speak to you.
So how can we get our mind to be at its best for God?
Right. The only way, that's to say, meditation is the only way of resetting your mind, your thought, and your belief. If situation is tough and you hear the voice from God, you may not listen to it, but don't let him go. Don't let that word go. Speak the word of life. Meditate on it. God's promises. You meditate. You turn it over. You speak it out. You meditate. Before you realize it, in your heart, understanding will come. Holy Ghost will open intuitive your mind to see this differently. When the word comes, you know it's God speaking to me. A verse will come. A song may come. A hymn may come. This is God that gives you hope. You have to experience what I'm talking about to understand it. When you are worried. All of a sudden you sit down, a song will come to your heart. It can be a song of joy and peace. It can be a word. He speaks in one way or another. But the question is, if your heart is set to say, this is the Bible. this is can only be God. And then conviction will come. How do I know it is God? Holy Spirit will act on your conscience to say, yes, this is from God. That's what we call conviction. Your heart begins to ring. Your heart begins to burn. Okay, an example before we go to practical demonstration. Let's go to Act. The book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 8-9. Just listen. We're going to demonstrate what we said today. Acts chapter 14, verse 8.
And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked.
Now take it word by word. We'll comment it.
And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked.
The man was crippled from the mother's womb. He has never walked in his life. Never. The man met Paul and Paul met him. Let's see what happened.
This man heard Paul speaking.
Go, stop. The man heard Paul speaking. That's the key.
Speaking the word of God.
When the man heard the word of God, the man first focused on him, paid attention, and heard the message. Paul was speaking about Jesus of Nazareth. He focused, he paid attention, he listened, and heard what Paul was saying. Continue.
Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed.
Stop, take it word by word by word. This is important. Help us word by word. Paul,
observing him intently.
Stop. Paul looked intently. Let's decompose it. Paul focused on him. Paid attention. Mean look intensively. Look attentively. Intently. Where? The heart of the person. Paul looked at the person intently with the look of faith of the Holy Spirit. And what happened?
And seeing that he had faith to be healed.
Stop. Now, seeing, he looked intently to the heart and saw that the man had faith in his heart to be healed.
That means he was not looking at the outside.
Oh my God. Oh my God. God will show you who is going to be healed. That's why you can't stretch your hand and pray for anyone. God will tell you. When you look intently, mean Paul was meditating in his heart, looking at the person, waiting for revelation from the Holy Ghost to know what to do. He looked intently, and Holy Ghost gave him the discerning. There's one gift called in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, discerning of spirit. He looked to the heart and saw faith. That this man has faith to be healed. No, what happened next?
Said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet."
Stand up! And speak the word of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happened?
And he leapt and walked.
The man leapt and walked. Now, from the sight of Paul, he looked intently, meditating in his heart, and revelation came from the Holy Spirit. This man will be healed. Now, speak this word to him. Give him expression. He spoke and the man got healed. Revelation, understanding, conviction that the man has faith to be healed, and he acted faith by speaking the word of faith over the person and the miracle took place. Look, focus, deep enough. Think deep enough. We call it the mind of Christ. When you think deep, it's no longer your mind, it's the mind of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Start from verse 15.
But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one.
Paul is spiritually inclined. He looked deep enough, think deep enough, and saw faith, judges all things. Why? Verse 16 says,
"For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?"
That's the mind of Christ.
But we have the mind of Christ.
Oh my God. What's the meaning of this? Mean, in the beginning, it starts with your own mind, your own thinking. When the Holy Spirit comes, the mind of Christ is the deep thoughts of God in the conscience, which is the ears of your heart, of your spirit. It comes from here, another frequency. The moment you are spiritually inclined, and the more you develop your relationship with the Holy Ghost, you will discern the difference between the signal from the brain and the signal from the heart. You will see the difference quickly as you grow in knowledge, as you grow in understanding the work of the Holy Spirit. It is here. You will know that too. Remember when the prophet Yeshua was saying in the prayer line, as I'm praying for you, I'm talking because I have two channels. I'm talking to you to hear me, but in my heart, I'm praying. Somebody can say this, but his heart is saying there are two nature in you, two channels, two ways. And that's what we are talking about today. Whatever you see on the natural, you have to go deep in the spirit to understand what it means. Holy Spirit revealed to Paul that this person will be him. And he spoke it. And what happened? The man was healed. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 5. You can see how much we need the Holy Spirit. But we talk about Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. But do we really believe that he's real? If you believe that he is real, if you believe that he has no other place to lodge than in your spirit, if you know that your conscience, the voice of your heart, is the only way, you will learn to discipline your mind and learn to listen to this one. How does it happen? You have to build a relationship. Go ahead. Let's listen. Another case.
So he gave them his attention, expecting to...
Start from the verse before. Sorry.
And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful.
Exactly the same situation as Paul.
To ask alms from those who entered the temple.
Okay, sorry. The man came, what was his purpose of coming?
To ask for money.
He will ask for money. That was his mind. That was what he was asking for. Sometimes we enter the presence of God to ask for blessing. We won't need money because I have my house to pay. I have debt to pay. This is what I ask God on. It's right to have petition to ask, right? Is absolutely correct. The Bible says you do not have because you don't ask. It is good to ask. Continue, what happened?
Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us."
Fixing Peter with that. Fixing his eyes on him. The same thing Paul did. Focus. He looked at the man intently, absolutely focused, engaging heart to God. Lord, what's the problem with this man? Waiting, and Holy Spirit gave him utterances. While he was looking at the man intently, the Spirit of God released it and sent the word of faith. What did he say? Listen.
So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them.
The man what gave them?
His attention.
Did you see? The man, because he paid attention, was able to receive. The first person paid attention and received. Can't you see the importance of your attention? This is how Satan is robbing us of blessing by bringing negative thoughts to disturb you when you read the Bible.
He knows if we can just remove our attention from God, then we can't receive God's blessing.
Now you understand why you read the Bible and don't understand it. When you read this Bible, focus on it intently, as they did, and ask the Holy Spirit, help me to understand this Bible. When you are meditating on the word, revelation come, understanding come. The same way the Spirit of Father will use this word to speak to your heart. I'm telling you the truth. Continue reading.
Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
now
rise up and walk."
Peter knew that this man is here for silver and gold, not for healing. That's what he said. He knew that the man was asking for money. He said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but I have something more than silver and gold." God does not want you to be a beggar. God wants to restore you to be a producer. Your father, we keep on asking God, give me a vehicle, give me a TV. God wants to give you a house. God wants to give you more than that. Lord, give me a job. I pray for a job. You don't know God wants you to have your own business. Lord, I want to be an engineer. That's God wants you to be an engineer. We need to hear from God. And that happened by...
Because God wants the best for us. And he, no one can ever love us as much as the one who created us.
Means you need the mind of Christ.
To know the best for you.
Absolutely. God's opinion on the present in every situation of your life. That's what we call the mind of Christ at the present. And that's why God gave us his spirit to his children. To walk in the spirit, to move in the spirit, to understand in the spirit. Intuitive knowledge. No man will tell you. It will sink from your heart. Some of you just come to your heart, this is the meaning, and you know it is true. That is conviction. That can only happen when you learn to communicate with the Holy Ghost. What we are saying now is a key to relate with this wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. He's the only helper we have. He's the only one that can take you to spiritual understanding of who Jesus is. He's the only one that opened the eyes, your heart, to the promises of heaven. He's the one that gives you understanding. Job chapter 32, verse 8. He's the one that takes you to conviction. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Conviction means he will tell your heart, it's true for you. Yes, it is true for you. Yes, I know it is true. And you believe and act on it, and the miracle takes place. What happened? Continue.
And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength.
And a miracle
took place. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God.
So now, when you hear a noise, if your mind is not there, you are only hearing noise. But if your mind is focused, you'll be able to discern, to mark the word. The next step, who is speaking to me? What's the meaning of this? This dream I have, what does it mean? Who gave me this dream? Is it, what does it mean? That's where Holy Spirit will come. That's the first job he does in helping us. He guides us into an understanding of the truth. He guides us into the understanding of the dream and vision God gave you. That's why if you don't follow the Holy Spirit, people can lead you and mislead you anyhow. Conviction must come from your heart.
And that relationship with the Holy Spirit is a personal one. You can't rely on someone else's relationship with the Holy Spirit because salvation is personal.
That is true. The man will say, you come to me, you hear about me. There are many people that will say, oh, my dead body, I will never go to the church with this man. He's not from God. But today you are here. You are welcome. How many times you hear him say that? He said, you see me, why can't you ask God to reveal in your heart who is the person talking to you? And that's what God does in our lives. In the book of Acts chapter 16, we read it at home because of time. You will see how Holy Spirit led Paul. Paul wanted to go to Asia. That was his mind he expressed. Holy Spirit said, no. You want to go to Bithynia? Holy Spirit said, no. Acts chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. I mean, the Holy Ghost has a veto right. I call it veto right. God does not answer the prayer to the letter, but according to his will.
Sometimes he denies in love.
I'm telling you. Say it again.
Sometimes he denies in love.
I don't want God to give you in wrath. Because sometimes we realize that all our prayer, we are pestering God. We are telling God to do what we want. God knows that this is not good. You keep on asking for it. God say no. In the wilderness, they began to ask for meat. Because that meat tastes good from Egypt. And they said, this manna is a... I don't like this manna. I want meat. They were pestering God, pestering God, pestering God. One day, God said, okay, is it what you want? I will give you. And that brought destruction. Who knows what would have happened to you if your prayer for better condition had been answered? Sometimes we are very stubborn. I'm telling the truth. I'm asking a question. What is the difference between being determined and being stubborn? Can somebody answer me? What is the difference of being stubborn, stiff neck, or being determined?
Well, to my understanding, if you're stubborn, it's like you're determined, but without the Spirit of God. But if you're determined, because in a way, a certain sense of stubbornness is important. We call it determination, when nothing can change your mind about what you believe when you're not distracted by things. So determination is a good thing, but stubbornness is not a good thing. So it's the Spirit of God that makes the difference.
Imagine the shepherd. You say, don't go there. Don't go there. And you continue to go there. Don't do this. Don't do this. You continue to do it. Don't do that again. You continue to do that. That is stubbornness. Stubbornness is to do what is wrong. We are stubborn when we keep on doing what is wrong in the sight of God. That is stubbornness, because it's not good for you.
Mm.
But determination, when God reveals something good to you, give you a vision, God say, do this, that is determination. Do it.
Mm.
Determination has to do with doing what is right, because you heard from God. How can you be determined if you're not convinced it is God? When you are determined, you defeat Satan. No matter the trial, the trouble he brings in you, when you have conviction and determination, nothing can change your mind about what God has spoken to you. If God gives you a vision and a dream, and you understand it in the power of the Holy Ghost, absolutely nothing can change your mind about that dream. You will stand determined to the very end until it's fulfilled. So, stubbornness is to continue to disobey God by doing that what is wrong, what is not right in the sight of God, because it's bad for you.
Some people are answering this question. Sorry. Determined is when you're ready to learn. Stubborn is when you don't want to learn. Determination is being positive, then being stubborn is being negative. Determination is when you are persistent and aiming at achieving good results. Stubbornness is attached to pride and being greedy.
Okay. We are saying different things. Let me tell you. Man exercises the will through the mind. Okay? I have my own way of thinking. I think it is right for me to do so. And I do what I want to do. I'm the one. It's my self-righteousness. I'm the one thinking, this is what I want. I want this. Nobody can change my mind. That is man talking. But if God revealed to you, don't do this, do this. This is my will. That's the difference between King David and King Saul. Saul was extremely stubborn. God gave him a command to do this. He refused to do it because of fear. Not only one, not only two, not only three. David made a mistake. The difference, somebody who is determined, when he makes a mistake, he will never repeat it again, because he wants to do what is right in the sight of God. I'm determined to obey what God has said. I'm determined to do what is right. I'm determined to be focused. I'm determined to be obedient to the very end. That's good. That's from the Holy Spirit. Determination. Determination. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, nothing will change your mind. You are fixed, focused, and determined on God. Jesus going to the cross was determination. At Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup
pass over.
Pass over. That was his will. They say, not my will. Let your will be done. Three times. When the strength came, Jesus stood and walked towards the cross to do the will of the Father. Determined. He was the only person who knew that he was going to be crucified. And he told everybody. But nothing stopped him from going to Jerusalem. He went determined. He walked to the cross.
So determination is in line with obedience to God, whereas stubbornness is actually disobedience.
Absolutely. You know it's wrong, and you can't do what is wrong. Correction can be rejected. You want to express your will. That's happened to Paul.
Thinking that you know best.
Yes. You rely on your own understanding. And you resist the Holy Spirit. And that is it. You are stubborn when you resist the inner voice of the Holy Ghost telling you, don't go. Many of us, you want to enter a bus. And trouble is coming. The voice says, don't enter. Something is telling you, don't do this. Don't enter. Be careful. Be careful. But you refuse to listen. The voice ring, you refuse. And you enter the bus. Before you realize, I'm robbers, enter the bus. Say, something was telling me.
So, I should have. I hear that all the time. Say, something was telling me that I shouldn't have done this. But then it's afterwards. I say, I should have listened.
That's stubbornness.
That's why many times God tries to warn us. God tries to speak to us. God tries to communicate to our heart. But if we're not ready to obey and be sensitive to that voice and follow its leading, and that requires humility to do that. Humility obeys the voice of God, but pride will say, no, I know best. No, I know best.
That's the work of Satan. To divert your focus, to capture your will, and lead you to do something contrary to the will of God. That's what he wants. Whereas the Spirit of God wants you to be patient. Holy Ghost requires patience to him. Satan requires no patience. Satan does not need any invitation to come. He violates. He's an armed robber. He will enter your home. He will steal and stalk to you anyhow. He talks anyhow. Negative thoughts are anyway. But to listen to what is good, you have to sit down. You have to meditate. You have to wait till the voice of the Lord comes.
Wait, let's just go over that again. That really struck me, what you just said. You know, Satan is an armed robber. He doesn't ask your permission before violating your thoughts. He doesn't ask your permission before entering your house and trying to take captive your thoughts and take you to anger, to jealousy, to lust, to lying. He doesn't ask any permission. He just does it forcefully. But for you to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you need to invite the Holy Spirit into your heart. Make your heart a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Focus on the Holy Spirit. Put your mind and heart at his best place to receive the Holy Spirit, and then listen to his voice and then obey it.
So
it's not the easiest, but it's the best way to live your life.
That's why God's word refreshes your mind to think right. God's Spirit renew your strength to do what is right. I repeat, when God's word comes into your heart, it will renew your mind and you are to do what is right. It will give you the strength to do what is right in the sight of God. No matter what people say, no matter what comes, you choose to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. If God asks you to go to a way that's difficult, because God always asks us to do what seems impossible to us. That's why faith comes. If it is easy, we ask what is possible. That's why we tell God, give me TV. You ask according to what you know, what you want. But God will ask you what you never think and imagine.
Mm.
God will give you what you have not asked. Okay, I want us to play two videos as explanation. That we all come to God's presence with our petition. But we need to know the mind of God. What God said about it, and that will bring the solution. God is not moved by my words. God has a way of expressing his will in every matter. God is moved by his will. I think the Rhema word for me today is determination. Okay, my dear brother, you know people say Rhema, Rhema. Okay, in the word it's easy. What they call Rhema is the word you hear from your heart, from the Holy Spirit. That's the living word. So when the word of God enters your heart, it becomes spirit. That's the word you hear from the Holy Ghost, the inward you receive through in your heart. When the word comes in your heart, what does it do? It will bring conviction. Conviction that this is true from God. And that conviction was called belief. That's the conviction that gave birth to belief. So between the revelation, we call Rhema, and determination, there must be first conviction. If you understand that word and you are convicted it is true for you, then you are determined to do what is right. And that's where faith comes. So when you are determined, belief has come already, you are determined to do it right and you will see it happen. And that is it. So conviction is work of Holy Spirit, not just understanding. It will lead you to conviction of heart, which is belief. And that belief, you act faith and you believe that God is working out the answer. You need to be moved by your circumstances till it comes to pass.
Any weakness that we have, if you know that that is not from God and you know that you're struggling with something, the most important thing is to recognize, okay, this is how, you know, that Satan is attacking me and tempting me to have this weakness. So you just need to make sure that, okay, question yourself. Are you tempting the devil to tempt you? Are you putting yourself in a situation where you keep laying the door open to Satan? In that case, you make sure that you adjust and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your mind, to come into your heart, to make your heart a dwelling place for him. And this is an every moment assignment. It's not just something on Sunday. It's not just something when we're listening to the word of God. It's something where our heart becomes tuned to the Holy Spirit. So anything that's against the Holy Spirit, it will be uncomfortable for us. We will not be comfortable with it. We will be unhappy about it. So it's just a matter of making your heart sensitive to the Spirit of God.
And that's the purpose of meditation. This is the key. That's why God said to Joshua, let this book never depart from your what? Joshua 1:8. Can you read it before we play this issue? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God, what we are discussing today is exactly what God instructed Joshua to do to succeed in the conquest of the foreign land of Canaan. What did God say to him?
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall...
He never said depart from your eyes. Did he say eyes?
No, he said mouth.
What does it mean?
That you need to confess it.
You have to read it louder and confess it and speak it. Not just read it in your mind. Speak it louder. Mm-hmm.
But you shall meditate in it day and night.
Meditate or night. Engage your heart. Continue to meditate on it, not just read it.
That you may observe to do all, to do according to all that is written in it.
That you may put into practice. That, oh my Lord, conviction come, determination come, and you act faith and see the result.
For then you will make your way prosperous.
Then you will prosper in everything
you
do.
And you'll have good success.
Good success. Let's watch. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Di dalam nama Yesus Kristus.
Locate him, Lord Jesus.
Kemurahanmu menjamah dia saat ini.
Touch the heart, Lord Jesus.
Jamah hatinya, jamah jantungnya di dalam nama Yesus.
Release him, Lord.
Dilepaskan.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Di dalam nama Yesus Kristus.
I'm seeing all that sitting down, lonely, thinking. As I was praying for this man,
okay.
Is it married? I was stretching my hand.
God servant,
you know, we don't know what to pray. Holy Spirit will guide us in prayer. So I would just like you see in the book of Acts, I look at the man intently, and I was praying within me for the Spirit of God to guide me, to give me revelation, understanding, without going what is written in the placard of this person. I was just meditating in my heart. All of a sudden, a message came that this man, his thought, he has problem with his thought, his thinking. He was absolutely overwhelmed by a situation that has completely taken over his mind. He cannot focus on God anything. He will just talk. He cannot hear from God. He can't do anything. He was absolutely, his mind was taken over by a trouble. And I said, you are thinking. What is the issue that is disturbing your mind all the time? What is disturbing you? I'm seeing thoughts. Let's continue. Don't worry. Let's continue.
Berpikir. Apakah Bapak
sudah menikah? What is troubling his mind?
Apa yang mengganggu pikiran Bapak? Yes, he's married.
Ya, untuk anak-anak saya yang sekarang sudah maju kuliah, kita perlu banyak biaya.
You say, I'm thinking of my children. We need a lot of finances. You can see what he's saying. You're translating in Indonesia.
Of his children that needs to go to
so,
the university.
So, the financial problem he was having, the issue he was having was so much, and that was his thought. Let's pause a bit. And you can see in this placard, he never mentioned that issue. Never.
He
was there for a different issue. But that problem was a very big problem for him. So when you come to God with your petition and you ask for something, you are limiting God to a certain answer. But God wants to touch every area of your life. God knew that this issue, God will touch it, but there is something disturbing this man that God located when he was praying, but he couldn't hear what God was saying to him. I'm sure God must have been giving inspiration or hope, but he never paid attention because he was disturbed in his mind. So the only way for the man now to get his mind reset is to hear something that for him comes from God, not from man. So let's listen. I said, God will provide for them in the name of Jesus. Don't worry about this issue. God will provide for all your needs in the name of Jesus. That's the word that came to me, and I spoke it out. So I said, man, don't worry. God is aware, and he will provide for this because he himself sees impossibilities. But the Spirit of God said, God will provide for the need of this man to face the impossibilities he's facing in his life. Let's continue listening.
Tuhan akan menyediakan untuk mereka.
Amen.
Tuhan sediakan baginya di dalam nama Yesus.
Amen.
in the name of
Jesus
Christ.
Sediakan baginya di dalam nama Yesus Kristus.
Tell him not to be afraid. Provision is coming.
I say, tell him not to be afraid. He will go to university. Now, wait, pause. And now a message came that the man should not worry, that the child will go to university. That's the voice I heard in my heart. I never doubted. I told the man, they will go to university. They will go. When God wants to give you something to say, the conviction will be so strong. When you get used to listen to him, you will never doubt the voice in your heart. That was here. It was not mine. I was here in UK, and the person was in Indonesia, 12,500 kilometers from me. I was looking at the board. I was not in the church. So that voice can never be my thinking. I know that that one was another frequency. It was from here. And I never doubted. And I tell him, fear not. God say he will provide for your child. He will provide, he will go to university. And I tell the man clearly what I've heard in my heart without doubting it. Let's watch. What
happened next? Persediaan itu akan ada.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Saya Agus Petra. Saya berasal dari Jakarta. Saya mengucap syukur karena Tuhan Yesus Kristus.
Now he said, thank God for answering my prayer. Now he believed that what I said was God's answer. He never said it in the beginning. Later he will say it. Let's see why he's saying it.
Doa saya dalam Jakarta Prayer Line, hambanya Rasin Busho menyatakan bahwa saya sedang banyak pikiran. Man of God Rasin bertanya sama saya pada saat itu apa yang sedang saya pikirkan.
So, the Bible says the Spirit of God searches our heart. Jesus is caring about the burden you have right now, what you are thinking. He knows. Let's continue watching.
Yeah, saya berpikir mengenai
now,
biaya.
I was thinking of the big funds that we needed to pay the fees of the university for my two children. That was his thought disturbing him. But God knows your thought. I want to tell you that God knows your thought. It's not just a word on what you write. He knows your thought. What is troubling you, he knows. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob, Jesus knew that this woman, her need was not water. Her need was something more than water. And Jesus spoke to her life. And the woman's mind will reset immediately. Okay, let's continue.
Ya, untuk anak-anak saya melanjutkan kuliah di universitas, karena biaya yang cukup besar saya perlukan untuk kedua anak saya. Man of God berkata, jangan takut, Tuhan akan.
The man said, I should not worry, for God will provide. Continue.
Menyediakan, dan benar. Hati saya sedang susah.
Indeed, my heart was heavy for my son. This is exactly what the Bible says. Come to me, who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Now, I will comment. It is Jesus Christ that said that. If you put your problem into God's hand, Jesus will give you peace. Jesus removed the burden of heaviness and give the man peace. That is Jesus. Only Jesus can do this. Let's continue reading.
Dan saya sedang kalut karena anak saya Cesar Benedictus Jurun belum diterima di satu universitas pun untuk melanjutkan pendidikannya. Setelah man of God berdoa buat saya
stop.
Merasa
this is the man of faith. He said, after the prayer, I had joy and peace in my heart. This is the work of Holy Spirit. The man believed that the word I speak was from God. Hannah believed when Eli speak and had joy and began to eat. That's the same thing we experience here. After the prayer, the man understood and believed in his heart that it is God and he has peace. So when Jesus wants to minister to you, he will give you peace. That peace of heart is God's agreement. If you want to know that your prayer has been answered, when you have trouble and you continue to pray and meditate, all of a sudden peace comes. God has heard you and answered you. The peace of conscience comes from Jesus. He will remove the burden and give you strength that he will provide for you, and you have peace. Faith brings peace and rest because of the knowledge that God is faithful. He is with you. Let's continue.
Kan ada sukacita, damai sejahtera dalam hati saya.
I felt my burden has gone. God's word has refreshed his mind, and his mind was renewed. Fear has gone, anxiety, worry has gone. Continue.
Seolah-olah beban yang tadi saya bawa ke dalam gereja itu dilepaskan. Tapi hidup tidak semudah itu, saudara-saudara. Hari Rabu kami mendengar kabar bahwa anak saya ditolak. Di hari Sabtu, kami berdoa bersama-sama untuk sekali lagi mendaftar di sebuah universitas negeri di Semarang, yaitu Undip. Pendaftaran telah ditutup, dan kami tidak tahu akan hal itu.
You see, this is a miracle. The registration was closed already. They were not supposed even to listen to them. But when God say yes, nobody can say no. Let's continue.
Jam 10 malam, setelah kami selesai berdoa, saya dan Ben, kami mendaftarkan di Undip. Dan kami bisa mendaftarkan Ben di Undip. Ujian akan dilakukan di hari Senin. Ben begitu stres dan dia sempat sakit. Pada hari Senin pagi, Ben masih dalam keadaan kurang sehat. Jam 10, dia harus tetap ikut ujian itu. Luar biasa pertolongan Tuhan. Tanggal 18 Juli.
He said the son was stressed. He still went to the test. And that's what the Bible says. God will meet you at the point of real movement. If you believe, if the man didn't believe, say, I'm not going, he would have lost it. But he still, despite his tiredness, he went to the test. Let's continue.
Kami menerima kabar, Ben diterima di Universitas Negeri Diponegoro, jurusan Rekayasa Otomasi. Ben diterima dengan uang gedung,
Now, the boy was accepted with free admission fees. Not only he was accepted to the university, but he didn't have any admission fees to pay, which was worrying the man. How can this be possible? Only God. If God say, I will provide, tell him not to worry. He will go to university. He was accepted, and the fees were, admission fees were free for him. That's why I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is Lord. Holy Spirit is real. What we have been talking here is not theory. It's practical. That will show you this. Not because of me or anybody, but you. This is the promise of God for you, for every child of God. You don't need to be a prophet or an apostle to receive this. It is Holy Spirit. I'm absolutely sure that Baba must have been hearing from Holy Ghost, but he was so disturbed. He needed somebody to confirm it to him. And if he didn't hear, he would never have submitted any application. He would have stopped, say it's too late. But the application was closed. They came late. He applied. He was accepted and for free. Let's continue to see. It's not finished.
Ya, bukan sampai di situ saja Tuhan menjawab. Bahkan uang semester yang dikenakan oleh kampus sangat minim. Dan itulah jawaban yang luar biasa yang Tuhan berikan buat kami, khususnya buat anak kami. Hari Rabu yang lalu, tepatnya tanggal 24 Juli, Man of God Rasin kembali mendoakan saya. Dia berkata, Tuhan akan...
You know, sometimes without God, I say, don't worry, what we have to be, God will provide. Let's continue. God can never change his word. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. What he say, he will fulfill, he will accomplish it. Let's continue.
Menyediakan, ia menyediakan lebih dari yang saya butuhkan.
Now, the Lord has provided more than I needed. Listen.
Hari Kamisnya, tanggal 25 Juli, saya presentasi di sebuah perusahaan asuransi, dan mereka menyetujui pengembangan sistem yang saya akan buat, dan nilai kontrak...
Stop. God is great. Now, the issue of the man was the boy. Not only did God provide for the boy, but God gave breakthrough to the father in his work. He won a contract so big that he doesn't have any issue to worry about all the tuition years of his children. So we asked God, biscuit, where God wants to give you a house. We keep on limiting God, doubting God all the time because of our circumstances. Not only God provide for the child, God provide for him beyond understanding. You see, the value of the contract is even more than enough to finance my children's university education until the end. With God, all things are possible. And nothing is impossible to the one who believes. That is why the prophet said, Ruth, correct me if I'm wrong, he said, learning to hear God after prayer is a much greater blessing than what you're asking. So can't you see why we need to pay attention? Focus. If your faith is strong, you don't need me to tell you or any girl to tell you. God can say the same thing to you. If you believe it, you will go, you will apply, and you will receive it. That's what we want. We want the practical side of Christianity. We want to hear from God. It is possible for you. It is not theory. Christianity is practical. What makes it practical? Holy Spirit. What makes you a Christian? It's Holy Spirit that God gave you. So that's what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. He wants to be, oh my God, He cares for you like a mother. He cares for me. He cares for you. He speaks one way and another. Sometimes when you don't listen because you are through trouble, God will wait till you sleep. When you sleep, your doubt will sleep. When you sleep, your fear will sleep. Your anxiety will sleep.
Your pain will sleep.
Your pain will sleep. And what happened? God will open your spirit and give you vision. Your spirit will see. Here, will see directly vision from God, bypassing this mind. But the problem is, when you woke up in the morning, do you believe that dream? Your mind needs to be renewed, refreshed, to believe, for conviction to come, for a dream to come true.
That means the major issue we have is for our mind to be renewed.
That's just the problem we have.
Because that, if our mind is not renewed, it can't be the gateway where the Holy Spirit can speak to us, because He does not bypass our mind. He works in cooperation with our mind. Mm-hmm. So we have to renew our mind.
If your mind is not renewed, you do your own will. Mm. That's why Romans chapter 12 said, give yourself to God as a living sacrifice. So you will know what is the will of God and surrender to His will. This is what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit from your heart. Last time we talked about focus. Today we talk about attention. That is your duty, to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. This is the key to all our successful life. Listen to Him. That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be a child of God. If you are a child of God, you don't need a prophet. You have the leading of the Holy Ghost to guide you in your home, in your life, in your business, in every single day of your life. That's the purpose of it. So, Ruth, what can we say about this?
Well, I actually think it reminds me of the case you just talked about, Hannah and Eli. You know, as soon as he said to her, don't worry, it will happen for you, she believed in that and she had peace. In the same way, this man, when he heard that word from God that, look, God will provide for you, and he was so worried, immediately the worrying stopped and he actually just went out and God met him at that point of real movement. And it's the same thing as Apostle Paul, you know?
Mm.
He was expecting God to remove the thorn, but God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
And when he received that answer from God, he received peace to be able to carry on his work as an apostle. So many times what we're asking for from God might not be the will of God to give it to us at this particular time.
Mm.
What we need is to hear a word from God. And what is most of the time, what is God telling us? We need to open up our heart to hear what God is telling us and to believe that God's will is the best for us.
Mm-hmm. So I repeat again. Focus. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Focus.
Mm.
Pay attention with all your mind and listen carefully to discern, and then meditate in your heart till the Holy Ghost come and give you understanding. Say, yes, this is true. This is God. I'm going to do it. You will act of faith and miracle will take place.
Mm.
Stay blessed. So I want to pray together with you today.
And all of you who have actually expressed what you want God to do for you, like people that were saying there on the comments that they're having, struggling with spirit of lying, spirit of anger, all these things. It's time to bring yourself to the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus has solution. Jesus loves you. He wants the best for you. The only way we can have a heart-to-heart with God is when our heart is free.
Mm-hmm.
And our heart cannot be free if it's tied down by so many worries, anxieties, bad feelings towards others, anger, bitterness.
Mm.
All these things, they're not from God. And so bring yourself to the feet of Jesus so that God can remove all of this from your heart. And then from now on, you can walk hand in hand with God. and your heart can be a dwelling place for him, because he wants to speak to you through your heart. He does actually speak to you, like we said at the beginning, but are you perceiving what he's saying? Are you listening to what he's saying? So that's the question.
So I want to give you one prayer. We're going to pray for it together. And write down this prayer. And all this week, begin to meditate on the prayer I give you. What does it say? Oh, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Oh, Holy Spirit, set a watch upon my lips. Help me to evaluate, to check every thought that comes to my mind, and guide each word I speak. Number one, oh, Holy Spirit, set a watch upon my lips. My tongue, control today. Control my tongue. Help me to evaluate every thought that comes to my mind, to know whether it's from you or from otherwise. And guide each word I speak. Mean, Holy Spirit, help me not to be too quick to speak. Help me to sit back in silence, to meditate, till you come and give me understanding so I will know who is talking to me. So I will know your mind about my situation. And then guide each word I speak. Give me what to pray to speak, the word that will bring solution to my problem. That's the word of faith. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for every single person watching today. We want relationship. That's why you call yourself Father. A sense of fatherhood produces a natural basis for prayer. Holy Spirit, I pray, fall afresh on every person listening today. I know many heart problems, but you want to give them more than they're asking. I pray that today they begin to hear your voice, either by dream, either by revelation, or you speak to their heart. Help them to see and to perceive. Help them to hear and to understand. Please, Lord, stir up their heart, their conscience. Bring conviction that they will know that it is you speaking to them. Help them to discern. Help them to convince, to be convinced. Help them to have faith and manifest your strength in their weakness to act faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Take control of their thought. Take control of their words. Take control of their heart. Remove the burden in the name of Jesus. Right now I pray, whatever circumstance Satan has used to bring thoughts, terrible thoughts of trouble, of failure. Is it sickness? Is it trouble in your home, in your marriage? I pray that burden be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon them to break every yoke of poverty, every yoke of sickness, every yoke of disease, every yoke that prevents them from hearing. Let it be broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, when you sent Moses, Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says their heart was so heavy, they were unable to hear what Moses was saying. Lord, I pray, Jesus, you said, come to me, you are heavy laden. Lord, as you know the heart of the man, I pray, Jesus, remove the burden in their heart, in the name of Jesus. Remove the burden in their mind, in the name of Jesus. Remove fear. Remove anxiety in the mighty name of Jesus. Send forth your word in their hearts in the name of Jesus and bring healing, restoration in the name of Jesus. Your mind be free in the name of Jesus. Your heart be free in the name of Jesus. That fear, that burden in your heart be removed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your heart. Peace of Jesus in your heart in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch them. Fill them with your spirit. Bring them peace. Peace to their heart. Holy Spirit, take control of their heart and mind in the name of Jesus Christ. Let their mind be renewed in the name of Jesus. Speak to their heart, Lord. Speak to their heart in the name of Jesus. Open the eyes of their faith to see vision from you. Open the ears of their heart to understand the message when they read the Bible. Bring understanding. Bring conviction. Give them strength to act in faith. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is troubling you, be sickness, be disease, I say be released in the name of Jesus. Be released, be released, be released in your body. Be released in the name of Jesus. Is it poverty? Setback. Be released in the name of Jesus. I pray for many homes, many marriages, many trouble. Be removed in the name of Jesus. Be removed in the name of Jesus. Be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever trouble from the devil, be cast out. Be removed in Jesus' name. Touch their heart, Lord. Touch their mind. Touch their soul. Touch their spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The wall between your heart and the Holy Ghost, be removed in the name of Jesus. Be removed in the name of Jesus. God put the word in the mouth of Jeremiah to uproot, to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow. Whatever Satan has built of trouble or fear, be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Be overthrown, be destroyed and pulled down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, the word is to build and to plant. Plant the seed of God's mind in their heart. The seed of your revelation, the seed of the blessing of God, the seed of your opinion and the matter in the name of Jesus, and to build Christ's character, and to build the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let there be relationship with you, Lord. Revelation, understanding, conviction of faith in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Be blessed and the Lord be with your spirit. So please develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit every day by reading your Bible, loudly insert your name, meditate on it in your heart, in your heart, in your heart, till Holy Ghost give you understanding. When understanding come, conviction come. When conviction come, you will be able to act faith. And God will meet you at the point of your needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Holy Spirit is real. He's waiting for you at the point of the Holy Spirit, in the secret place of your heart, in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Until next time here on the University of God, stay blessed.